3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be as almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Monday edition.
Although it feels like the Tuesday edition because yesterday was Sunday, but the Packers practiced and it just felt like a regular weekday. This is the point of camp where I lose track of what day it is. Edition. We are a football-centric, Packers-centric program. Kind of a big baseball series, though, that we're going to be talking about as well. Tied for first place. Jesse's favorite team, the Chicago Cubs. Everyone else's favorite team, the Milwaukee Brewers. Going at it. Edition. And I think he owes his incredibly successful radio career in large part to Jesse and me. Our cousin Sub of the Day has become a star. And it all began on Wilde and Tausch. Edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, although I'm not sure about today, Facebook, and both ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. And, of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable, so you can put Wilde and Tausch ahead of KBN in your power rankings of shows, the ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from the Gruber Lofts is one called That's All Studios. My third favorite punter of all time.
Ah.
He is Brad Nortman of KBN fame and the man who owes his entire career as he left the world of high finance to be with us. It is Brad Nortman. Norty, good morning, buddy. How are you?
Doing great, Jason. Thanks for having me back on. This is, every time I rejoin Wilde and Tausch, I'm reminded of those early days when I would take half-day PTOs in order to really grind away at this radio career. And, you know, upon reflecting on that, it leads me to believe that Wilde and Tausch is an incubator of sorts, right? Where it takes a young cellular organism like me and grows me into what I am today. I owe it all to Jason Wilde, Jesse Nelson, setting me up for success. And I won't forget those days of doing Wilde and Tausch in the morning, taking half day PTO, cruising back to the office in order to get a little bit of work in. So that's one takeaway. The other takeaway, as you brought in the show, so lovely as you always do, it's good to know that media members get confused and lose track of days at some point during camp as well, because little old me, being a punter, had plenty of camps, though, where I'm like, wait, what day is it? Is it Sunday? It feels like a Tuesday, but we got practice and there's a game week coming up. It's confusing. It's crazy. I thought it was only for players and coaches, but media members as well. What do you know?
Yeah. First of all, let me clarify something, because that was, in case people didn't catch the drift of this, completely tongue in cheek. The career you have built and the team that you guys have at KBN, while a little bit of groupthink from what I hear, is great, and you are a natural at this. We deserve zero credit, other than who thought you might be good at this. That person deserves credit because they were right. Is it Jesse?
Well, it was Jesse and Tom Olson, who was the market manager of ESPN Madison, now market manager in ESPN Cleveland. And yeah, I mean, I guess I don't even know. And, you know, Jesse can hear us. I don't even know how my name came across the radar. But and there is Jesse right there doing the old Jordan hands in the air.
The shrug.
I would actually love to know, Jesse, how did you come across my name? Because basically you guys reached out to me. Tom and I are the same age. We played basketball as youths years ago against one another. But I had recently moved back from Jacksonville, was working in finance, and they thought I'd be a good fit for ESPN Wisconsin College Game Day, which I will once again be a part of this upcoming season. But Jesse, how did that all come together? Because that kicked off opportunities for Wilde and Tausch, which eventually led to KBN.
You were like eighth on our list.
You just can't help yourself. Okay. Great opportunity. Here he's pulling his heart out, giving you credit, which you don't get around here very often.
Former quarterbacks were great. Their perspective on the Badger football team and playing in the NFL, and then some running backs, you know, RBU here in Madison, and defensive player, linebackers, and maybe, you know, there's been a couple of successful tight ends who have gone and had some great careers. We thought, okay, these all make a lot of sense for what we're doing. And 8 interviews later, let's call the punter and see what he's got. And it was good enough. We said, okay, show starts next week. You're in.
Well,
What I'm hearing,
I'm glad you did it, Jesse.
I'm hearing I'm like the Tom Brady of quarterbacks, right? Where there's a level of I'm overlooked, I'm a late round draft pick. And what do you know? When the opportunity arises, maybe not being exactly like Tom Brady, but undervalued like Tommy was. Too far?
Yeah, sure. Maybe.
Aaron Rodgers, maybe another one, falls in the draft, chip on his shoulder. Now I'm really going to have a chip on my shoulder, Jesse. Now I'm really going to have a chip on my shoulder. I didn't know that I was the bargain bin of possible options of Wisconsin College Game Day.
Who knew? Be exaggerating.
Look at me
you
now.
You were probably like fifth or sixth, probably, if I remember correctly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That doesn't help. Anything worse than the top three is offensive. And now I'm going to really conduct these radio shows with a chip on my shoulder. Big chip on the shoulder now.
Well, now that we've gone from talking about how far you've come and how we played a small role to you comparing yourself to Tom Brady, I think we'll move on. Although, hey, like Tom Brady, your photo on Wikipedia makes it look like you're a quarterback. So, again, maybe there's more comparisons than I'm giving you credit for. All right, I want to get into football, obviously. But, Jesse, I see that Brad has his Brewers. Is that a batting practice jersey you've got on there? Are you going to go take some cuts in the cage?
Yeah, it's like the official team gear. I'm an official team guy, right? You know, they send only the best players, only the best stuff to the players. So this is actually fairly new. It takes a lot, given all the issued gear I've received over the years, right? Early days at KBN, I saw how many days straight I could wear free issued gear that I received from Wisconsin and Carolina and Jacksonville. And it went 81 days. 81 straight days with no repeats. So I don't have a lot of reason to re-up my closet, but my Brewers gear certainly needed a re-up. So this is the first time I'm wearing this t-shirt. First time, official Brewers gear. What is that? Do I look pretty good?
You look great. I'm a little surprised Jesse doesn't have his Brewers gear on, though, or his I Love Craig Counsell shirt, which I know he keeps in his closet. Is there a reason for this, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm pulling double duty today, too, just like Brad. So Brad's hosting two shows. He's on here from Wildy and Tausch, and then, of course, his show, Kyle Bristol-Norman, in the afternoon. I'm filling in on Jim, Matt, and Molly this afternoon. We're going up to Trapper's Turn in the Dells for the NFL alumni golf outing. I guess punters aren't invited. That's unfortunate. So, but the NFL alumni golf outing going on at Trapper's Turn, I'll be hosting with Molly Brown there this afternoon. So had to go with the station gear today, but in my heart of hearts, and when I get home tonight about 6:35, just in time for first pitch, I'll be throwing on the yellow Brewer shirt, and I will be cheering on the squad for a massive, I think they're branding it as the Statement Series against the Chicago Cubs. This is going to be a fun one here, the next three nights at American Family Field.
All right, so set the scene for us, Jesse. So they are tied atop the NL Central, correct?
Tied for the top spot in the NL Central standings, tied for the best record in the National League. Brewers and Cubs, massive series. They play 8 times remaining in the regular season, all of which will be in the next 3 weeks, I think. Including, and maybe it's 4 weeks, including the doubleheader on August 18th. Basically, over the span of the next month, the Brewers and Cubs play 8 times, and it may or may not shape who wins the NL Central and owns tiebreakers and potentially has home field advantage through the NL playoffs, which is crazy to think about.
Interesting that that's over the next 4 weeks and there's not anything in September, though, right, as you come down the stretch.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I think baseball's messed up. They went to this balanced schedule 2 or 3 years ago where you now play, like you only used to play one division from the American League and then you played maybe one team from the NL East 3 times and the rest 2 times and however that worked out. They changed their scheduling a couple of years ago where now you play everybody evenly. So it's cool that the Brewers every other year, they go to Fenway Park and Yankee Stadium and Seattle like they were last week. And you get to go to places and play teams you don't normally play more consistently. But it takes away the division rivalries by balancing the schedule where now the Brewers and Cubs, you only get 2 series against the Cubs at American Family Field every year. You only get 2 series at Wrigley Field. You only get 2 at Busch Stadium and vice versa. So I think that's been a bummer for baseball, that you've lost some of the traditional rivalries in the interest of balancing the schedule. For fairness, it makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But it's a bummer that, you know, we don't get to see the Cubs 3 times. We don't get to play the Cubs in September in a pennant race with all this on the line. Like, it is a little bit of a disappointment, I got to admit.
Well, Norty, you've got your game face on. You are ready for Cubs-Brewers, obviously. Although, you got a lot on your plate, and you're going to have more on your plate. Will it be before the World Series that you have more on your plate, if you know what I mean?
Yes, it will, because actually today marks 34 weeks for the First Lady of the Nortman Estate, as I lovingly dub her on KBN. My wife, Lexi, is pregnant, and we are well into it, guys. We are on the home stretch. We're in the red zone, some might say, when it comes to the delivery. And yeah, so she is to the point now where she is very pregnant, and she is she's handling it like a champ. She's doing great. And it's one of those things, though, I'm going to miss some things about her being pregnant. That might sound crazy. That might sound strange. But for instance, you know, September 8th due date, so we are well within the range of possibly delivering this baby. But until then, you know, Friday night, Lexi and I went to Pfizer Forum. We went and saw Nate Bargatze. He was a stand-up comedian, and he was great. It was hilarious. It was a great show. Much needed date night for the First Lady and I. But you know, we don't really do a lot outside of our family and friend group, you know, ways of like dates and things like that. So this is the first time that we'd been out in quite a while. And boy, oh boy, if you're a pregnant woman, the world rolls out the red carpet for you. I couldn't believe the type of access and treatment that we received. I'm going to miss that. I kind of want to go out and do more stuff now, because when we were, you know, obviously there's Pfizer Forum, huge line to get in, security, the whole thing. People were waving us up. Oh my goodness, this woman's pregnant. Come on up for the front of the line. We said, sure, I would love to do that. You go up there, huge line for the women's bathroom, right? But you know, pregnant women gotta go to the bathroom. And so all these ladies were like, oh, this poor pregnant, why don't you go up in the front of the line? Go ahead, come to the front of the line. You go ahead of the rest of us. So she skips like 15 minutes worth of people. Not only that, you go to like the concession stands, and one of these things that Lexi has right now is like, she loves like chewing ice. I guess it's one of the pregnancy cravings of sorts or whatever. So as I get, a drink and she gets a water, she asks for a cup with ice. And, you know, it's very regulated, right? Very regulated when it comes to the concession stands and stuff. And the guy goes, nah, I can't do that. Can't do that. And she goes, but I would really love a cup with some ice in it. I'm pregnant. Can you help out a pregnant woman? And the guy like looks around, sees if his manager's looking around, and he goes back, he takes a cup, scoops up the ice and gives it to her. And I had a happy bride on my hand. And then finally on the way back, so we went to Pfizer Forum, and then, we parked in a parking structure, but on the way back again, Lexi had to go to the bathroom. So we stop at like this pretty nice hotel along the way. We're like, maybe we can just stop it and use it. Well, there's like the key card lock on the lobby hotel doors. So I was like, Lexi, can we just hold it and just we'll just try to get home? And there were some people that were staying there. And Lexi goes up to them and goes, hey, you guys staying here? They said, yes. And she's like, I'm pregnant. I really have to pee. Would you mind opening it for me? Sure enough, they open up the door. I can't believe this was not even exerting effort. And people were just rolling out the red carpet, whatever you want, skip the lines. I mean, she's earning it. I will add that. She is earning it by carrying this now 5+ pound baby in her tummy. But man, oh man, did I enjoy the access that being associated with a pregnant woman gave me. I'm going to miss that in 6 weeks.
So if I was a dude in this line, I would say, no, you stay back there. She should totally go up there. She's the one carrying a kid inside of her. You, on the other hand, your role here, first of all, your role has already been covered. And until that person arrives, you don't really have any responsibilities here. You keep your butt at the back of the line there, Slim. but that's great. And she's, so again, I do think that women do and I understand this is not universal, but I do think women do a better job of looking out for each other than dudes do. So I love the fact that they're being thoughtful for her. And how was Nate Bargatze? Because he threw out a first pitch of the Brewers game, didn't he?
He sure did. He was hilarious. I mean, just banger after banger, an hour's worth of just unstoppable laughter. So it was really great. The guys ahead of him, the openers were really good. So very unique experience going to a stand-up comedy show. I really like stand-up comedy, and he is really, really good. If he ever comes back around, anyone that's listening, I highly recommend it.
He's a clean humor guy, right? My kind of guy, where not very vulgar show, doesn't rely on that to try and get some laughs. It's very witty and actually intelligent and fun humor.
Yep, completely clean. I mean, we saw like kids there that were, I would estimate 10, 13, 15 years old, kind of in that range. But yeah, completely clean. And honestly, I think it lends itself to a higher level of comedy when you don't have to rely on anything that's, you know, pushing against, verbal boundaries or whatever else. I think it takes a real true sense of wit, observational, and delivery to be able to pull that off. And he was so, so, so good.
Well, I'm glad you had this VIP treatment because, as Geriad points out in the YouTube comments, punters don't usually get that. So good thing you have a pregnant wife to lead to that opportunity for you.
No wonder I loved it so much.
The Packers do have some specialists, but that's not what the story is going to be today. The first practice in pads of training camp, four practices in already that were in shorts, jerseys, and helmets, or as Matt LaFleur called them, in underwear. That all changes today at 10:30. Packers getting ready for family night, which is at the end of the week, but they've got a few padded practices here ahead. Now, we will get to all that. I do want to talk a little bit about someone who, and I keep hearing Tausch's voice in my head, where every time I say Nate Hobbs, he says, oh, I hear he's physical. Well, guess what? So physical during non-padded practices that he got a talking to from his head coach about it. We'll get into that coming up after we hear from Old T telling us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. With Brad Nortman as our cousin sub of the day, it's Will D. Tausch.
ESPN Wisconsin's Mark Tauscher for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and door options from seven different Pella lines, all side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you can get zero interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. It's a beautiful.
Brad Nortman is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Are you doing double duty? You're doing 3 hours with us and then 3 hours with the groupthink crew of KBN?
I am. And easy on that groupthink, moniker for us.
That's
Jason.
Tausch's theory. Just to be clear.
There's not groupthink going on 2 to 5.
If anything, it's reflective of how we've grown as a show. We are now becoming one mind, one heart, one being, if you will, as KBN. But yes, indeed, I'm going to be on KBN from 2 to 5 as always. We're actually going to be at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino this afternoon. So it'll be fun to be back there. And, it'll be a great show as always, as there's so much to talk about. I know we're going to get into today, but Packers, Brewers, it's just a great time to be a Wisconsin sports fan.
All right, Brad. I know you were a very physical punter. We always hear Sean McDonough's call of your, it's a fake, great call and great execution. How many tackles did you make during your career? And you're a big dude. Obviously, you and Joe Thomas, very similar. During your days growing up in Brookfield, physical specimens. How much physicality did you bring to the field?
Well, Jason, I'm so glad you brought this up, because like I have some rushing stats in college, and yes, my social media page is me throwing a football as my picture, I actually have two tackles to my name when it comes to the official NFL stat sheets. And wouldn't you know, one of those tackles was on none other than Tyreek Hill. Now, there's a small disclaimer with that. Small disclaimer. If somebody goes out of bounds, or you force somebody out of bounds, they give a tackle to the guy that's nearest. Mm. And I happen to be nearest to Tyreek Hill, but I say that I punted it. He kind of did one of those long sweeping punt returns crossing the field. And I tried to, fill that gap on the left-hand side. And I tried to, shimmy my body to force him out of bounds. He could have cut back. He could have made a career decision to try to take on me, but he wisely submitted himself out of bounds. So I thought, smart career move by him. And I have a tackle on Tyreek Hill. The other tackle is a true authentic tackle. And I contend I should have another half tackle, because I got my nose in there one time against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, the problem for me wasn't the physical part. It was catching them. Catching them was the hard part. But physicality, part of the game that the Green Bay Packers are going to figure out real quickly here in an hour once they put the pads on.
So, yes, Tyreek Hill making a good career decision for you, not necessarily for him. but we're glad you were safe and sound and able to tell the story. Now, the reason I bring up physicality, obviously, is the fact that they will be in pads today, which, you know, Matt LaFleur told us yesterday there is going to be some tackling during the course of training camp, which he has shied away from in past years. Did a little bit of it on family night last year, but it sounds as if there will be more of that this time around. But the problem, if you want to call it that, is that Nate Hobbs got a little bit of a head start on the physical portion of practice. And look, non-contact is a relative term, right, in practice, because it's not like guys aren't touching each other. It's kind of like how basketball is theoretically a non-contact sport. There's plenty of contact in the NBA and plenty of contact on a basketball court. But Hobbs took it too far, and Matt LaFleur felt the need to admonish him about it. And those who listen, and Jesse backed me up on this, I made the mistake of telling Tausch that I watched a few games of Hobbs with the Raiders when the Packers signed him.
Yeah, you did.
And I observed that he is physical. So now
because you watched two drives in that one game with some of the highlights on the NFL League Pass that you found on YouTube of one game. All the good, yeah. That if that was Tausch,
That was a very good Tausch imitation. So I think I watched three games. Dude broke his arm because he's so physical, and he missed like five games last year. That is his brand, and he's not the biggest dude, but he plays with that attitude and swagger. He knocked down Dontavion Wicks on a play that everyone went ooh. And Wicks was slow to get up as a result. My question for you, even though you and J.J. Jansen and Graham Gano and the specialist crew weren't exactly throwing down, he is violating kind of the unwritten rule of non-padded practices, and that's why the coach felt... Let me be clear before I ask Brad this question. They need guys like this. You want guys like this. You just want them to kick the crap out of the other guys, not your own guys, and especially when the practices are not designed to be that way. Is that fair, Brad?
That's exactly fair. That's really well said, Jason. When you have a guy like Nate Hobbs that brings a certain level of physicality and intensity, it's frustrating during fall camp, but you celebrate it on Sundays in the fall, because that type of mentality is something that I think this defense needs to continue to foster. And, you know, a guy like that at the cornerback position, it's not common, right? I mean, for all, as great as Jaire Alexander was in coverage, a lot of fans, and rightfully so, would get upset, particularly since his shoulder injury, how he wasn't the kind of guy that would be willing to throw his shoulder in there when it comes to a tackle, taking on a block, or even a wide receiver. So your Packer fans will be happy, and the team, the coaching staff, mm-hmm. will be happy when Nate Hobbs is wearing green and gold on Sundays in the fall. But until then, it can breed frustration, because you're right, it is an unwritten code that the health of the team is of utmost importance, right? That's more important than anybody looking good on any certain day, staying up. You hear coaches say that all the time: stay on your feet, get off the ground, and don't break that boundary of trust that players have to have with one another, because guys want to get out there, and Nate Hobbs particularly, right? The Packers don't know him, right? The players are trying to evaluate him just like the coaches are. And there's probably a sense of him signing a free agent contract coming in that feels like, not only am I physical, but I need to prove myself. And he needs to do what he can to, you know, harness that and not let it go too far. I applaud it, but it can become a real frustration. And you always see, not yet, but maybe in a week or two, you start to see fights happen at training camp. Mm-hmm. It's something like this that could spark that. right? Where somebody, it's the third week of training camp. We're all tired and sore. And then there's just a hit that's just a little bit too late, or somebody goes through the whistle and frustrations overflow. So it's something that he needs to harness, but they're going to be thankful that they have him come Sundays and fall. But on the other side, I will say it's a difficult ask to try to go as close to full speed as possible, but to, you know, put the brakes on and stop yourself from finishing out the play. It's one thing that I think guys will be a little bit thankful that they have pads on today, that they can let themselves go a little bit. Because it's easy to say, it's not particularly easy to do. To say, I'm going to go, let's go full speed at practice. Let's take this seriously. And then, you know, in the final several seconds, to really put a governor on your body and slow down and not do something that's a natural football play.
So, and again, I give you a hard time, but you played in this league, and it's not fair the way we talk about specialists, but that's what happens. And to be honest, right, your own teammates would do that, right? You know, you guys, how easy you have it in practice. Like, you had to endure that. I don't want to call it bullying, but teasing. Fair?
Oh, very fair. And honestly, it was a, it's an outlet for guys. Like, it's, they're going through it 100 times what we are, right? And so in order to sort of let that frustration out and cope with it, to poke fun at the specialist, it's part of the job description for sure.
Brad and I have this in common. I don't know if you know that, Jason, because I was in the pit percussion in the marching band in high school. And the pit percussion, while everyone else is outside learning their marching drills and sweating their butts off and trying to learn all their music from memory, we're inside in the air conditioning playing the xylophones and doing all that. And then we come out like later and they're all like, oh, there's the pit percussion's coming out now. And they're like, oh, you guys better know it because you're the... So Brad, a specialist, pit percussion, one and the same.
Jesse, yeah, it's for the health of the greater team.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone's got to be on beat. Someone's got to get those trombones in line. That's us. Cymbals.
So as much as I enjoy the sidetracking into the pit percussion realm, Brad, when your recollections of training camp, how do things change on a day like today? Maybe not for you, but certainly for the vast majority of this team when the pads come on and the intensity ratchets up.
Oh, man, this is a day that I can remember quite vividly, right? You always remember the first practice, then first day of pads, particularly when everyone's body feels pretty good. There's a level of, like, it felt like the last several days were glorified walkthroughs, right? That it was fast, it was rolling, but there was a level of tameness to practices without pads. When the pads go on, you're reminded of that crack when pads and helmets hit one another. And guys can operate at a faster speed. They just can. When you have no pads on, you are slowing yourself down so much, unless you're kind of in the open field. But now, when it comes to the trenches, the O&D line, linebackers and running backs, and even the perimeter with the cornerbacks and wide receivers, there is another gear that these guys hit. And the crack of the pads, it makes you feel like football is really back. And I just remember being there when I wasn't, you know, firmly focused on punting, and I'm watching practice. It is a day where you are reminded of how physical this game is, how talented these guys are on the field, and the power that they possess, because it's something to behold. After this, it's sort of everyone settles in and maybe it becomes, you know, a bit more regulated. But first day of pads, man, if you're a football player, you look forward to this. And there have been guys that have been waiting months because in the off season, you know, during the April, May, June mini camps, like, you're not doing this. You're not going to play the game of football with pads like they will today. So a lot of guys haven't hit since the Green Bay Packers lost to the Philadelphia Eagles in the playoffs. So this is a long time coming. Guys' bodies feel really good and they can actually take a step forward and, like, guy like Nate Hobbs can show even more so what he can bring to the table.
I'm just glad he broke the rules to show how physical he is. So when Tausch eventually gets back from his summer sabbatical, I can point out that he went out there and proved exactly what I had been saying about him while he was making fun of me. So that's a win for me, but maybe not a win for everybody else, especially not Dontavion Wicks, who was on the receiving end of some of those hits. We will see what happens. Practice starts at 10:30, but they really don't start ramping up until about 11 o'clock. We will be out there to watch as Ray Nitschke Field is the center of the Packers universe today for the start of padded practices. You know who else will be there? I saw their team there the other day on the sideline, Associated Bank. They've been with the Packers since their very beginning. They've been with us since the very beginning of our show, and they're the best bank in the business when it comes to customer service. They've got the awards to prove it. So go to AssociatedBank.com, find out more about early pay, find out more about credit monitoring, find out more about their fraud protection program, and find out about Brewers, Badgers, and Packers checking all at Associated Bank. Go to AssociatedBank.com to learn more. More with Brad Nortman, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app, customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Getting ready for some trivia coming up next with Brad Nortman in as our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Norty, what's the worst injury you've ever had?
Ironically, it's a torn ACL. Same thing that our friend Christian Watson's still dealing with. Yes, it is.
When did that happen and what was that? Boy, do we have anyone on our team that played in the NFL that didn't tear an ACL? Blaga did it twice. Tausch did it twice. You did it. Did Chewy always had plantar fasciitis. That's like his favorite injury.
Ooh.
Options one through five for college game day all those years ago, I don't think had any torn ACLs, but they're not on the team like Brad is.
Wow.
It's amazing how much Jesse pushes other people down to push himself up. Don't you think?
It is remarkable. It is keeping us all humble. That's Jesse's job.
So when was that? When did you deal with that?
So it was freshman year of high school. So quite a long time ago. That's all the way back to 2004, 21 years ago. Hard to believe. But freshman year in high school, I was playing linebacker, which I played linebacker and tight end throughout high school. And it was a scrimmage on the freshman football team the day before the first day of high school. So we had a scrimmage. I was playing linebacker. There was a sweep basically to the running back to my left. I'm pursuing. Running back puts his foot in the ground, cuts back. I put my foot in the ground, but my body weight continues to my left. And, you know, it's a non-contact injury, one of those things that just the knee gives out. And, they're so quick to diagnose an ACL because that task of pulling on the knee is so revealing.
Yep.
I was the next day, first day of high school, on crutches. So that was a humbling and slightly horrifying experience. But got through it and missed all football and all basketball that freshman year of high school. But then was back my sophomore year to play both and continued on the rest of my career.
So help me understand something. So you become a world-class punter, almost as good as Tim Mastey and better than Sam Veit. Did the ACL lead you to then trend toward not playing linebacker and punting? Like, how did it factor in at all? You ended up in the NFL. Unlike Jesse, I'm not here to push you down, but I'm guessing you're not in the NFL if you're playing linebacker.
Well, I am not. I'm not playing NFL linebacker for sure. I did, so sophomore, junior, and senior year, I did play linebacker. I did play tight end. Not to you know, sort of pat myself on the back, but I was defensive player of the year as a linebacker in my conference. And I was getting nibbles to play my junior year linebacker at like Ivy League, Middle Tennessee State, Ball State, places like that. And I actually thought I had two options. I would either like go to Madison at University of Wisconsin as a student, or do I want to go to Columbia to play linebacker? Do I want to try to take on a kind of a preferred walk-on of sorts to Ball State and Middle Tennessee State? Harvard wanted me to punt and play linebacker. Could you imagine that? Punt,
Harvard,
run down the field, and then go play linebacker. Harvard, yes. So, but I was sort of late to the scene of going to a national punting and kicking combine, did really well, shot up the charts, and then that door just swung open. I knew I was a good punter, didn't know I could do it as well as I could on a national landscape. And then when offers started rolling in, I said, whoa, I can go to Wisconsin on a full scholarship and punt? Sign me up. So I basically said, and then showing up at Wisconsin, seeing how those guys were on the field, this isn't even pro football, this is just D1 college, Big Ten, I was like, I made the right decision. I don't belong on this field as a tight end or linebacker. So very good high school player, maybe could have took some nibbles at the next level, but punting is just clearly where you know, I was best and was able to maximize that. But I tore the ACL as a linebacker and then got right back on the field.
Well, I did spend some time with Christian Watson, and look, you know, what sucks on a number of levels for him is, A, he made it through last season until the last regular season game really healthy, right? Which was not the case for him his first two NFL seasons. The guys at Badger Athletic Performance on the UW-Madison campus solved the riddle of his hamstrings. He played 15 games. Unfortunately, one of them was the game that ended the regular season when he wasn't planning on playing. He'd suffered a knee injury the previous week to his other knee. And then Romeo Doubs comes to work sick. And they say, you know, you're not able to play. And so Christian Watson plays and then obviously tears his ACL in that game. And I just, I have a hard time with the misfortune that turned out to be. On top of everything else, he's in a contract year. So, and Tausch knows this from firsthand experience. It happened to him not once, but twice, where he was in the final year of his contract playing for big money, potentially, and it didn't happen because of the timing of his injuries. So now Christian Watson has another reason to want to get back, not just to be productive, not just to help the team, but also to help his own financial future. And so in talking with him, you know, I think he's got the right approach of, look, I want to be out there today, but the medical staff is there to protect me from myself. But again, I'm really eager to see when they have him. Tausch has said before Halloween, I think there's a chance he'll be right. But again, I think they have to be really smart with him because he has so many reasons to push the envelope. And Brad, as you know, things can really go sideways and can be really catastrophic. If you do come back too soon, you're not ready, and then it causes all kinds of other problems for you.
You're exactly right, Jason. There is a delicate balance between pushing yourself, but then making sure that you're ready to play the game of football. Now, I'm not even close to Christian Watson. He is an athletic specimen, and nobody ever doubted Christian Watson when it came to his athletic ability. Saying and doing the right things in the locker room, he is as dramatic as that wide receiver room has become at times. He always says and does the right thing. Can't really say the same thing for his dad necessarily, but for him, he has always been a class act. So when he went down with a torn ACL, I was sick to my stomach, knowing what you just said, contract year and all the things. So for him, when you are a world-class athlete, I can never discount your ability to come back. And honestly, the way that they do ACLs now, I mean, way different than mine 21 years ago. So the Halloween, it's possible for sure. And I think his straightaway speed is not going to be affected at all. I think he's going to, once he's back on the field, he is going to blaze like he always has. My concern is the physical part of it, of hard cuts when you're running routes, right? Because the ACL, it's more of a lateral strengthening tendon, right? So can you put your foot in the ground and actually have that be stable? That's one thing. But for me, Jason, the biggest thing was the mental side of it. I mean, you just have this hyper awareness of a knee feeling and looking like it didn't before. And it just takes time. It takes time to reaffirm the trust in yourself that, like, it's stable. It's good. I can be who I was. For me, all the way back then as a kid who wasn't even close to Christian Watson, it wasn't until my junior year where I felt like I was really back to myself, maybe at the end of the football season into basketball season, but it just took a little bit of time. So even if Christian Watson does come back around Halloween, maybe sometime in early November, I think it would be an optimistic viewpoint to say, okay, maybe he'll get some plays. We'll put him in a position for him to succeed, right? A lot of straight line and speed. But I don't think it'll be toward the end of the season or maybe even playoffs at the earliest when he feels like, oh yeah, baby, I am back and I feel like me. It sets up an interesting scenario for him and maybe even the Green Bay Packers. Do you bring him back on a one-year deal so he can prove to the Packers and the rest of the league he's, you know, able to get more? Because the stats just by nature won't be as good as they possibly could have been. So for him, I think it's still all out there for him for a future contract and all that. It just might take a little bit longer. And I think the mental side of it, that's you can only test in a game and when you're really out there for real. So it's a long way back, but he is a freak of nature, and I would never bet against him when it comes to coming out there and being productive.
Jesse, before we get to trivia, we need to hit the breaking news sounder.
Oh, baby, now this is some breaking news.
Matt LaFleur is down in the media auditorium addressing reporters. I'm upstairs talking to you two knuckleheads. But he announced that Elgton Jenkins, the Green Bay Packers starting center, is coming off the non-football injury list this morning. He had a back injury that he came to camp with. He did not practice. Today they are in pads. He will not be going through a full-fledged practice. He'll do some individual drill work to ramp up, but off the non-football injury list, he will be back on the field. And I don't want to say without his contract adjusted, because I don't know that, but I feel like his agent would have probably told the world that he had gotten what he'd wanted in terms of his contract if that had occurred. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's not yet occurred. And maybe it's not going to occur at all, and he's got to get to work. Brad, before we get to trivia, your thoughts on Elgton Jenkins coming off the non-football injury list and starting to practice, even if it is without a new deal?
Well, it's a step. It's movement. I just hope he is careful and that he just does individual drills, whatever he's careful with and comfortable with, because if ongoing negotiations are occurring, that can create a little bit of drama. But I got to give it to Elgton, man. I mean, it would be easy for him to keep his feet in the ground and just say, I'm not doing anything until we meet at least partially halfway. It's not the agent that's telling him, hey, why don't you go out there and play? It's likely Elgton saying, you know what? I just can't sit back and watch practice anymore. I have to suit up. I got to be out there with my guys. So if this is all that I can do, I'm going to go out there and do it. So it's a testament to him. Honestly, it makes me want to have the Packers meet him halfway even more. I was sort of on Elgton's camp as far as guarantee all, if not some, of what he has remaining. But this is a football guy that wants to get out there with his dudes. This is not the agent saying, go out there and play. This is Elgton telling the agent, I know we got something in the negotiation here, but I just can't sit around any longer.
Well, we will see what comes of this. But I look, again, I know that there have been some Packers fans in the YouTube comments and responding to us on other platforms saying, you know, he signed a contract. Again, the general manager has said he can be an all-pro center for them. All he's looking for is money that's already in his contract. It does not appear he's going to get it unless there's been some sort of movement that I don't know about. I hope you're right, though, Brad. I hope that this kind of good faith gesture, right, you know, getting back on the field leads to something. Because, again, you know this as well as anyone. There are risks when you play football. And if the rest of his contract's not guaranteed, there's financial risks. There's future risks. And he's going to be 30 years old in December. And we know how this team feels about guys that turn 30. We also know how we feel about trivia on this program. Jesse, what's today's category and what color would you like?
It is the sports weekend recap, as is tradition on a Monday. So the sports weekend recap is today's trivia category. You were talking about Christian Watson. How about caller number 9?
Caller 9 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 9 plays trivia presented by Vortex Golf. Next, with Brad Nortman as our cousin sub of the day, it's Wildy and Tausch.
First of all, I love bringing this to the public.
The Rich Eisen Show.
NFC North. Top to bottom, you could say this is the best this division has ever been.
Coming September 2nd on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and on Disney Plus.
Beat Hall and Oates. I was a fan of their work. Time now for one of our favorite things to do. But Jesse, are we drawing last week's winner like ever, or what is our deal here?
All right. Well, I wasn't here Friday, so that's on you guys.
No, I again.
You were the only regular around here on Friday. This is your ship going down.
You don't have to publicly announce that this isn't your fault. No one was blaming you.
Kind of felt like there was a little blame and a little bit of self-defense I needed to put up there is all.
No,
Jesse, are we ever going to draw a winner from last week? Oh, do we ever get anything right around here?
That was a shot.
It felt a little bit like you were coming at me there.
No, you weren't on the show, which everyone knows you weren't on the show because you had another well-earned day off. No, it was I don't want to mention them by name, but I had reminded a certain producer we got to make sure we do that, and then we didn't. So now we're gonna do it, and you're gonna do it.
I got some chips in the cheese fry helmet to draw from last week's contestant. Oh, that sound is sweet. Let's see who's the winner of a Vortex swag bag from our friends at Vortex Golf from last week. It is one of Friday's contestants, I believe. Yes, indeed, this was a first-time contestant, Danny in Madison. Nicely done, Danny. You are the winner of a Vortex swag bag. 4 of 5 contestants, first-timers last week. That was fun.
That was fun. Well, guess what? Our contestant today is not a first-timer. Time now for trivia presented by Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Let's welcome him in. He's the father of the groom. He is Jeff in Monroe. Jeff, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We're great. Thrilled to have Brad Nortman back where it all began. Now that he's a big star, gave up the world of high finance to be on the radio, and we're glad to have him back on Wildy and Tausch. He has question 2. I've got questions 1 and 3, which means question 1, Jeff, is this. Which former Milwaukee Brewers player won the Alumni Home Run Derby as part of the AmFam Field 25th anniversary celebration on Friday night? Was it Keon Broxton, Corey Hart, or Sixto Lescano?
Keon Broxton. But I was a great big Sixto Keon fan.
Sixto Lescano is, it appears, still with us. 71 years old. Played 12 Major League Baseball seasons. I remember him from my youth as well. All right, question two, Brad, goes to you.
Okay, that's right. Here we go, Jeff. Question two. ESPN Sports Center celebrated its 50 States in 50 Days series with a stop in Wisconsin on Friday. They were on site at which of these events? Was it a race at Road America, Packers training camp practice, or Brewers versus Marlins at AmFam Field?
Packers training camp.
Very well, good job, two. Jeff. That's exactly where ESPN Sports Center was.
All right, question three, Jeff. No pressure.
And Jason, I heard Jason didn't want to stop by walking past the set in the background to make sure we got some publicity for Wildy and Tausch on SportsCenter in the 11 a.m. hour on Friday.
Come on, Jason.
That's true.
It's what I heard.
Because that's exactly the kind of attention
had,
we're looking for.
Had a nice
for,
big Wildy and Tausch hat you could have wore walking right by the set in the background. You would have stole the show.
Yeah, no. All right, question three, Jeff, is this. Entering play today, which Major League Baseball team is in current possession of the best record in baseball? Is it the Detroit Tigers, as Mike McCarthy might say, the Chicago Cubs, or the Toronto Blue Jays?
Toronto.
Perfect start to a perfect week, 3-for-3. So I'm confused. So the Brewers and the Cubs at one point have both had the best record in baseball. The Tigers had the best record in baseball for a period. Now it's the Blue Jays. Is there a big, like, I don't want to get, I know there's teams in the middle, but are there two extremes in baseball right now? You got the Rockies who won like three games all year, maybe a little more than that. And you got all these teams at the top of the heap where they're all kind of jockeying for the best record in baseball.
Nah, I'd say there's four tiers of baseball teams right now, Jason.
Oh, you and your tiers. Yeah,
yeah. There's four tiers. So you've got the tier ones are the teams that are contending for the best record in the league. And that's the Brewers, Cubs, Blue Jays, Tigers, Dodgers. That's kind of tier one. Tier two, the contenders with legit playoff opportunities, and that's kind of the Yankees and Astros, like that crew. Then you've got the pretend contenders who are on the fringe, which is a lot of teams because that's how baseball is now as we approach the trade deadline. And then you've got the teams that are just awful, and that's Pittsburgh, the White Sox, the Rockies, and the Athletics. All of the Athletics were winning over the weekend, so not as many in that final tier. But I'd say four tiers you can clearly define the baseball teams in.
All right, that is Wildy and Tausch trivia. Congratulations, Jeff. You've got all four entries into Friday's drawing, if or if not, we actually do the drawing on Friday. In fact, I believe there's a scheduling snafu, so we're going to have to do the trivia.
Probably a strong a likelihood time. We don't do the drawing on Friday, if I had to guess this week. Yeah.
Based on information just come across my desk. Thanks, Jeff. We appreciate you.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day. Love you guys.
Bye. Love you guys.
We need to get to the 10 o'clock hour since it's already 10, 11. What, was Bulaga on the show today? We'll do that with Brad Nortman, our cousin sub of the day, in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.